Good morning. Our reading this morning is taken from Luke, chapter 17, verses 1 to 6. So if you've got your Bible, you might want to turn there. Luke, chapter 17, verses 1 to 6. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "There will always be temptations to sin. But what sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting? It would be better to be thrown into the sea with a millstone hung around your neck than to cause one of these little ones to fall into sin. So watch yourselves. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. And if there is repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you seven times a day, and each time turns again and asks forgiveness, you must forgive." The apostles said to the Lord, "Show us how to increase our faith." The Lord answered, "If you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'May you be uprooted and thrown into the sea,' and it would obey you." So read God's words.
Great, thank you, Linda. Thanks for that reading from Luke 17. As we continue our combination of physics lesson and looking at what the Bible has to say about stretching our faith. What a great series, stretching our faith. Did you get a feel from that catapult that the more you stretched, the further it went? We've had some fantastic times with that little thing. If you produce water bombs about this size, they weigh a surprising amount. And if you really whack that thing back, you get some of our big lads in doing this, these things will go, 100 feet in the air and 200 feet away. And the lads go underneath, like ready for a rugby catch. And this thing comes down and goes boom and explodes in their chest and they're covered with water. Such fun. But the power of that thing, when you really stretch it, is something to behold. And here we have Luke 17, and in the middle of it we find the apostles saying to Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith. Show us how to increase our faith, to stretch our faith." And right at the beginning this morning, I'd like to just plant two ideas: that we stretch things in order to produce more power, but also we stretch things in order to grow. Are you any good at blowing up balloons? I am terrible at blowing up balloons. It gives me little pains right behind my ears, just here. I don't know whether it's everybody else does that. But if you... I'm doing this for you. But if you blow up a balloon, you're stretching this balloon in order to grow it, to put more inside. And in order to get more air in, this thing has to stretch. If I carry on blowing, it'll get bigger and bigger. Eventually, it may just go bang. But we are stretching this to enable it to grow. And when it has grown, it has quite a lot of power. I can let this thing go. You know what it'll do? It'll whiz off because we're stretching and we're producing power. And the same sorts of things can happen in our lives. I'd like to give the ladies just an opportunity to go, "Ah." Now, isn't that lovely? That's right. When we have babies that are tiny, they will fit into something like this. But babies have a habit of growing. They grow even before they get into one of these, of course. Ladies know all about growing things, don't they? They grow babies, and I'm not even going to even think about stretch marks, but it's the same thing. But you get a baby that grows and grows and grows, and there it is in this, and eventually you think to yourself, "That's a really fat baby." But actually, it's not a really fat baby. It's just that that baby needs one of these. And if I said to someone like Sean, "Can you just get into this?" It would have to stretch quite considerably now to get Sean into this. But we're used to things growing and growing. And as they grow, what contains them has to stretch. We've had a reading today from Luke, and we're going to spend our morning together in the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke is really almost the story of Jesus' time with his disciples. There are 24 chapters in the book of Luke, and at the very beginning of chapter 4, Jesus calls his disciples, and they are with him in one way or another every minute from that chapter 4 right through to the end in chapter 24. Have you ever done anything that is massively bigger than you thought it was going to be? Maybe it's some sort of DIY project that you started off, and when you got to the end of it, you thought, oh, good grief, you know, I thought I'd just fix those cracks. But when I just started chipping away, oh, a bit of plaster fell down, and then I had to go at the next bit, and the whole thing, and oh, we've had to do so much. It ended up being so much bigger than I thought it was going to be. Ever done something when you got to the end of it and you thought, I never believed that I'd be able to do all of that? Well, I think if you'd said to the disciples at the very beginning, when Jesus called them, let me tell you some of the things that are going to happen to you as you walk with Jesus for the next few years, they would have said, no way. They would have said, you're pulling my leg, because their faith wasn't at that stage big enough for all the things that they were going to see and experience as they walked with Jesus. And we talk in this church about being disciples. I wonder if we mean that. Are we really ready to walk as disciples of Jesus and see our faith being stretched for amazing things that Jesus wants to do with us and amongst us? And I'd like to just look at a few of those this morning. Remember one day, the disciples out on the Sea of Galilee in a boat with Jesus. And Jesus is fast asleep down in the boat. And one of those storms comes up, and it's so violent that the disciples are terrified that the boat will be swamped and they're all going to drown. And they go and find Jesus just fast asleep. And they say to Jesus, Jesus, look at the storm. We're about to sink. We're all going to drown. And Jesus says, oh, what little faith you've got. That's what it was like for the disciples. They're just about to drown. And Jesus says, huh, you've not got much faith. And then they see him say, peace, be still. I'd love to know exactly what he said and how he said it. Did he say in an Anglican sort of way, peace, be still? Or did he actually say, hey, you lot, cut it out. We're trying to get some sleep here. Did he just say to the winds and the waves, hey, you're under my control, don't mess about. But whatever he said, however he said it, the disciples turned to each other and said, who is this? Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? And they were beginning this journey of stretching their faith to start to see and believe all the things that Jesus would be doing as they walked with him. They were beginning to grow. Later on, in fact, it's even in the same chapter, Jesus is walking through a massive, dense crowd of people. Like coming out of a rock concert where everyone's just surging out through the doors and it's so tight and they're walking along in the crowd. And the Bible tells us that even in the midst of that crowd, there was a lady who'd been sick for many years, and she just nervously reached out and touched Jesus' coat as he went by. And the Bible says that she was healed instantly. And then in the middle of that crowd, with the disciples there, Jesus stops and says, who touched me? Who touched me? And Peter says, Lord, come on. Everybody's touching you. We're in a great big crush. Everybody's touching you. And Jesus says, no, something special has happened. Something mystical has gone out from me here. Somebody's been touched in a special way. And this lady nervously comes forward and says, it was me. And Jesus says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. And the disciples see that happen. And their faith grows a bit more. And they walk on just a few more hundred yards into a house where Jesus finds a dead child and brings her to life in the presence of her parents. I bet you don't see that every day. But the disciples were seeing things like that every day. And it was stretching and it was growing their faith all the time. It's only a chapter later that Jesus sends out the 12 disciples. He gives them authority to drive out demons, cure diseases, preach the good news. Oh, and while you're there, heal the sick, he says. Not a big ask for 12 disciples. Off you go. And he says, look, take nothing with you. No staff. You don't need a bag. You don't need any food. You don't need any money. You don't need any extra clothes. Wouldn't it be great if bringing up children was like that? Okay, no bag, no food, no clothes, no nothing. Off you go. Just go. And the 12 disciples set out into the villages. And Luke's gospel tells us that they come back and tell Jesus all that had happened. Doesn't give us all the detail of what had happened. Maybe in some cases, amazing things happened. Maybe there were the places where they tried it and it just fell apart and nothing worked. But it says that Jesus took them away quietly to Bethsaida. I guess that was for a sort of debriefing. Just to sit down and say, okay guys, how did it go? How did it go? What do we still need to learn? Because Jesus is the consummate life coach. And he is working with his disciples because he wants them to grow. And as he spends that time with them in a quiet place, the crowd find out where they are. And 5,000 people come. And Jesus takes pity on them and he speaks to them and teaches them until it's growing late. And then they're hungry. And Jesus says to his disciples, not a problem. You feed them. And they say, Lord, there's 5,000 people. Give us a break. And Jesus says, all right, your faith isn't big enough yet. Not yet. So I'll show you how to do it. And Jesus feeds those 5,000 people. But their faith is growing. Their faith is growing as they see the things that Jesus is doing, as they see the things that they're beginning to do for themselves. And later on in Luke 10, we see Jesus sending out 72 disciples. He sends them out into the towns with the same sort of instructions. Off you go. Go off in twos. What's he say? You don't need a purse. You don't need a bag. You don't need a sandals. Just go into the villages, preach the good news. And while you're there, heal the sick. You know how to do it. I've shown you. Go on. Have a go. And this time they come back bigger people. They're becoming powerful. And they are growing. They say to Jesus, Lord, even the demons fled from us in your name. We've had an amazing time. And look how excited Jesus is. Look how excited he is. He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I was watching. You are brilliant. You did so, so well. I've given you authority to do amazing things. This is just the start, guys. I want you to grow. I want your faith to stretch so that you become miracle-working people. That's what they found as they walked with Jesus. And Jesus prays. He says, Lord, I thank you that you've shown these things not to the wise and the learned, but you've shown them to little children. And Jesus uses that phrase, little children, quite a bit. And he doesn't always mean little kids that you can pat on the head. He actually means the simple folk who trust him and will follow him. Simple folk like those 72 disciples and followers who stretched their faith and were beginning to grow into miracle workers. Ordinary people. Ordinary people like you and me could grow to be. Because as Jesus worked, they were seeing what he did, and seeing became believing. I wonder where we are on that journey. Are we on a journey where our faith is constantly stretching, where we're constantly finding that with the power of God within us, we are doing more and more, where we're believing for greater and greater things? And as Christians, as spiritual people in this needy age, we are growing and growing, so that God can use us powerfully Or has some of us stalled on that journey and started to just back off from some of the implications? And we get to our reading in Luke 17. And Jesus is still teaching and training his disciples all the time, showing them what it means to have a big faith, showing them what it means to be children of God who grow and become powerful. And he warns them about leading little ones into sin. He says, it's better to have a millstone put round your neck and be chucked into the sea than to cause one of these little ones to sin. It's like a mafia illusion almost, isn't it? Yeah, give that guy a concrete overcoat and put him in the harbour. All right, it's a bit like that. And Jesus is saying, this is scary stuff. And little ones are not just little children. Little ones are people who are looking for meaning in life, people who are lost. And Jesus says, by your life and by your teaching, you mustn't lead them into sin. You mustn't confuse them and lead them astray, because what you teach them is so important. He uses a word that means luring someone into a trap. I don't know whether you remember the North American Indians who used to... Sandra, this wasn't on any script I've shown you, so you're going to have fun here. But the American Indians used to hunt the bison. Ever since I've been on that morning, that walk through the Bible, I've been doing actions. I've been saying to Hazel, I'm going to have my breakfast and then I'm going to the office. And you know, sort of... And as soon as I thought of a bison, and I thought, oh, a bison, there's a bison, you know. But anyway, you can be a bison if you like. But the North American Indians used to hunt the bison until eventually they all died out. And the Indians became extremely, extremely hungry. And there was one particular tribe that were absolutely desperate. They had nothing to eat at all. And they heard that there was a thing called the bacon tree. And they thought to themselves, if only we could find the bacon tree, we would be able to feed ourselves and our families. And so they got their six best trackers, and they sent the six best trackers out to try and find the bacon tree. And they watched and waited for them to come back. And after a week, nobody had returned. After 2 weeks, nobody had come back. But on the third week, they saw this figure in the distance coming back towards the camp. And as he got closer, they could see that he was staggering. As he got closer still, they could see he looked as though he'd been beaten up and his clothes were all torn. He was just in a mess. And he staggered into the camp and they said, no, what's happened to you? Did you find the bacon tree? And he said, no, we didn't. It wasn't a bacon tree. It was a hambush. What do you think of that? Now, I told you that. I told you that especially for anyone who's missing Chris Drury. All right, if you're missing Chris, I know, we're all right. We're all suffering withdrawal. We haven't had a bad joke in weeks and weeks, but I thought I'd just share that one with you. But Jesus is saying, look, it is so dangerous and so wrong if your life and your teaching lures people into a life that will lead them into sin or will cause them to lose their faith. And the responsibility is so great, because people are like little kids. Looking after this world and caring for people is like babysitting. You have people so precious in your hands, because every person is precious to God. And that's what Jesus is teaching his disciples. How do you think that makes them feel? This is such a responsibility. It's such scary stuff. And then Jesus moves on to forgiveness. And he says, when people sin against you, you have to be ready to forgive. You have to be ready to confront wrong, to be honest about it, but then ready to move on. If someone comes and says, look, I'm sorry I did that, you have to forgive them. Do it once. Do it seven times a day if you have to. Do it 70 times seven if you have to, because restoring relationships is just so important. And Peter's reaction to that, the apostles' reaction to that teaching is, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. You'll have to do that for us. Isn't it amazing that after all the things that the apostles have seen, They've seen the miracles. They've seen Jesus working in power. They've gone out themselves and they've worked in power. It's when Jesus challenges them at the point of their own lives, at their own witness, at their own teaching, at their own forgiveness of people, that they come back and say, Jesus, you're going to have to expand our faith again if you want us to live like that. So for the disciples, just being disciples, just living with Jesus, doing the thing that we say this church does, being disciples, is a life of constant growth. The more they witnessed and experienced the power of God, the more they could believe for greater things, but Jesus longed for them to grow. So we say in this church, we want to be disciples, make disciples. How are we doing? Are you bigger than you were a year ago? Are you more powerful than you were when you became a Christian, however many years ago that might have been? Or are we busy carrying out risk assessments on our lives? Are we saying, it's very difficult for me to launch out in faith because I need to have everything organized and I need to have it under control? Are we saying I need to know that the finances are in place before I can step out? I want God to bless what I do. I'm really scared about sitting back and seeing what God might do if I left him on his own. And my life is very secure. And I've organized my diary and my finances and my career and my family. And yes, I have my quiet times and I'm active in the church, but please don't ask me to step out of my comfort zone because I think I've grown enough. I've grown as much as I want to grow. I would never set out on a mission journey with only the clothes I stand in. I'm happy to do safe things and worthy things, the things I've always done. And if we get into that mindset, we very soon find ourselves thinking that we actually don't need any faith for this. I don't need God for this because I always do the things I know I can do. And if we start to live safe like that, we're a million miles away from discipleship as Jesus showed it to us. We're a million miles away from the life that the disciples led. And why should it be any different? Because our God is the same. We live such a different way from the disciples' life. And yet that principle of power and growth ought to still be running through our veins in 2011. And we don't have to be limited in what we do. Do you know why Linda did the reading this morning? Sorry about this, Linda, but do you know why? Because in 2 weeks' time, Linda is preaching here in the evening. And Linda's been on a preaching course with Andrew. There's a few folk been just working through this ministry of preaching and learning how to do it. But Linda's never stood up before a church full of people before in her life. And she said this morning, I'd like to do that reading just so that I can get the fear out of the way. Just so that I can see what it looks like and get it done once. And then when I stand up to preach, it won't be such a shock. And Linda is stretching her faith to grow. She's trusting that God will be with her as she steps out and tests this ministry of preaching. Some of our young musicians are learning how to stretch their faith. People like Callum, some of the young ladies that I've got playing with me in the music group in the evening, they're learning how to leave a page full of music behind and to reach out to God to give them notes to play as they worship him with their instruments. And that is scary. That's something that needs us to grow into it. And they're stretching their faith as they stand here and take a risk with playing to worship God. Some of our people are becoming street pastors. They're stretching themselves as they put on a uniform and they walk some dodgy streets. They're stretching themselves as they trust God to know what to say to some of the mixed up people that they might meet out there on the streets at night. Stretching their faith, starting to grow. the people at Cedar House, Youth for Christ, I could name a dozen other ministries around Preston, stretching their faith as these ministries stretch them financially, personally, in terms of the issues they have to deal with. Hazel was telling me that Cedar House needed some more counselling and worker space down there in their little house. And to sort out the garage was going to cost about £2,000 to convert that. And at that time they had just £2,000 in the bank, but a load of bills to pay, salaries to pay. And they sat down and prayed this through and thought, this is right to go for this. And they set out on that little project and spent the £2,000. And by the time they'd finished, gifts had come in and they still had £2,000 in the bank. And they're stretching their faith. They're seeing each other grow as they lead that ministry in Preston. And these aren't mega miracles, are they? They're not stories of mega miracles. They're stories of people in our church family here who are growing. And it's an encouragement to all of us to reach out and say, Lord, I want to grow. I could tell you some mega stories. You may have heard me before rabbiting on about Gary and Kathy Clark, who came to London, England from Australia 12 years ago. And Gary said, I'm going to keep drinking coffee with people until I've got enough people around me to set up a church. And in 1999, they started Hillsong London with about 200 people in a university room. In 2009, they had their 10th anniversary service in the O2 Arena. 14,000 people got in. There were thousands more who couldn't get in because they'd filled the building. And every week now, they run four services in one of the biggest West End theatres. 11,000 people going through their doors in four services every Sunday. And you know, thousands and thousands of people, literally thousands, have become Christians through the ministry of that church as they have stretched their faith and seen it grow. And you may say, oh, that's just a mega church in the city of London. But if you hear their story, it is about hundreds and hundreds of individual people who've been stretching their faith to believe for big things. Trusting God with more of their time, more of their money, more of their devotion, more of their skills, and learning to grow in Him so that His power can be shown in that city. And every one of us can decide to do that. Every one of us here can decide. Because God is doing great things here at Fulwood. I really believe God is doing great things at Fulwood, but He's done them before. And we've always somehow hit a sort of glass ceiling, and then something has bumped us back, and we come back to that same glass ceiling again. I would guess everyone in this church has got faith for a church of 300 at Fulwood. We've all got faith for a church of 300 because we've done it, and that's what we are. But have we got faith for a church of 500? Have we got faith for a church of 750? Because by that time, one service won't be enough and there won't be enough seats for people. Have we got faith for a church like that? Or are we actually saying, no, I've got really lovely faith for 300 and it's so comfy and we can do this. We can do church for 300. When are we going to reach out and say, Lord, we want to do church for a number that we've never done and we don't know how to do? Lord, come and stretch our faith. I wonder how many of you have had that secret dream in your hearts. That thing that you've sometimes thought God might be calling you to do. That thing you'd love to do, but you've never just had the opportunity and you've never just felt you could. Is God saying to you, now's the time. Now's the time. I've been building you. I've been growing you. You're ready to grow. You're ready to go and do it. Just believe and go for it. This may be a morning when God launches in your life something brand new. God may be calling you to pack in that job that drives you nuts. God may be calling you to forget about some financial security and go and do something for Him that will stretch your faith like you've never been stretched before. But in that, you will find a power and you will find yourself growing as a child of God in a way that you will never do as long as we all stay comfy and do the things we know we can do. We can let the catapult hang loose. We can let the balloon just flop about like this. Or we can stretch our faith and ask God for big things. I wonder what you're going to do this morning. I wonder what I'm going to do. What will God take me away from here to do today? But let's pray that God will enable us to stretch our faith and grow and be powerful for him. Should we just bow our heads for a moment and let's pray together before the band come and lead us? Just a moment. Let's just reflect. Let's just individually reflect before God. Lord, am I a bigger person? Am I a bigger and more powerful disciple than I was a year ago or 5 years ago? Or am I fairly comfy? Have I parked up? Am I admiring the view? When you have so much more. Lord, our text today is just simply this. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, take us away from here hungry for more of you in our lives so that we can start to see you at work in more and more powerful ways in this church, in the places we live, places we work. Lord, grow us, we pray. Amen. Thanks, Steve.